In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is the gospel lesson appointed for today, the fifth Sunday in Lent. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 12, beginning at verse 20. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew came with Philip and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it continues to be one kernel. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Anyone who loves his life destroys it, and the one who hates his life in this world will hold on to it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, this is the reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." A voice came from heaven. "I have glorified my name, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said it thundered. Others said an angel talked to him. Jesus answered, "This voice was not for my sake, but for yours. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be thrown out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate what kind of death he was going to die. This is the gospel of our Lord. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God, the road to the Final Four began last week. After the play-in games, 64 teams will travel through cities like Detroit, Wichita, and Nashville on their way to San Antonio. The city of the Alamo and the Riverwalk will host the Final Four on March 31st and the championship game on April 2nd. Four teams will get to San Antonio. You may or may not have picked your winner. Already, some of the favorites are no longer in the tournament. Some are just barely in the tournament after last-second shots. But they say that the road to the championship game in the NCAA tournament is one of the toughest roads in sports. And I believe if you ask the coach from Virginia, he would tell you that that's exactly the truth. It's a long, tough road, but players and coaches, they're willing to travel that tough road in order to get their shot at glory. Now, in an eternally more serious and in an eternally more important way, our Lord Jesus walked a rough road to take his shot at glory. Glory that doesn't look much like glory, but it is the thing that has brought us and the world life. It is the thing that has brought glory even, or I should say, brought glory to his heavenly Father. Jesus rode to his glory also went through some different cities. It went through Jericho, Bethphage, Bethany, and then into Jerusalem. Jesus walked that rough road from Herod's palace, the road we call the Via Dolorosa, or the Way of Sorrows, to Golgotha outside the city gates. And there, on his cross, our Lord Jesus continued his path to glory as it didn't end there, but led through there. This morning we see that Jesus' road to glory led through the cross. We'll see, first of all, that Jesus' death would give life to many. And secondly, that Jesus' death would bring glory to his Father. There are many people out there who are searching. They don't know exactly what they're looking for or where to find it, but the natural knowledge of God is gnawing at their hearts. They know that they are missing something. What they're missing, of course, is their Savior, Jesus Christ. We have the Savior, Jesus Christ, whom they're looking for. We have the Word of God that reveals that Savior to them. We have that Word as it's preached, as it's sung, as it's carried out in our liturgies. When they come looking, when they come here in their search, we will show them Jesus, the real Jesus, the true Jesus, who earned life for the many and glory for his Father by dying on the cross. This is just a couple of days before Jesus died on Good Friday. Some of the people who had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover had included some Greeks, most likely from up north in the area of the Decapolis or in Galilee. And the Holy Spirit had led them through the Old Testament to begin to look for the coming Messiah. And apparently they had heard about Jesus, about his preaching, about his miracles. And so when they came to Jerusalem to worship during the Passover, they were looking for him. And for whatever reason, they sought out the disciple Philip, maybe because he was also from up north. We don't want to underestimate what that was for a Gentile believer or a Gentile seeking the Messiah to come into the city. But he came to Philip, or they came to Philip and asked him, or said to him, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." You know, we pastors sometimes use this verse in a rather kidding way when we hear sermons or preaching of the gospel or the Christian life, and the pastor never mentions Jesus by name. And we always kind of say, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus. We would like to see the Savior there." So these Greeks were looking for Jesus, and Philip right away took them to Andrew, and then Philip and Andrew took the Greeks to Jesus. So they were most likely in the crowd of people to whom Jesus speaks the words of our text. Jesus talks about death. And death, as I said, may not seem like glory. But had Jesus not died, he would not have a living body. You and I and all believers are the living spiritual body of Christ because he died. He is like a kernel of wheat that is placed into the ground, and there it gives up itself. It decomposes. In a way, it dies, so that the new life of the stalk of grain will come up from it and rise through the earth and produce many more heads and kernels of wheat. A seed decomposes to produce a living plant. Our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to create life for all people, through faith in him, through trust in the work that he did on Calvary's cross. Jesus did not love this world or the temptations of this world that Satan and others put into his path so much that he decided, I'm going to disobey my Father and love this world and not die. No, Jesus loved his Father's will. Jesus loved the new life that he knew he would have after his crucifixion. And so by giving up his life and dying, he saved his life and our lives for eternal life with him in heaven. In fact, Jesus says about his approaching pain and suffering and death, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, this is the reason I came to this hour. We note that Jesus laid those options once again also before us. Those who follow him, those who serve him, reminds us of what he said we heard a couple of weeks ago. Whoever saves his life now will lose it for eternity. But whoever loses his life now for the sake of the gospel will gain his life for eternity. As we lose our lives now, as we hate this world, and by that he doesn't mean that we don't appreciate it as a blessing from God, that we should despise all the good things that God gives us in this life. But we don't love the world. We don't build our permanent homes here, our permanent hopes here. But as we give that all up, as we die to that, then we will have eternal life. We will follow him through this life into eternity. We will be with him in eternity. And there the Father will honor us who serve him, as he honors the Son who served him. Jesus' road to glory led through his cross. Jesus said, the time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And notice again that the theme isn't that Jesus' road to glory led to the cross. Jesus' road to glory led through the cross. Because if Jesus' road had ended at the cross, then there would be no life for the many. There would be no life for all. But it was passing through that death, through that cross, into the grave, and then out of that grave, in his resurrection, that brings that glory, that life for us, and also brings glory to his Father. Jesus' death would bring glory to his Father, because Jesus would remain faithful to his Father's will. When a father has a son who is obedient, who serves his father, who out of love and gratitude desires the same things that the father desires, when that son has glory for doing those things, the father shares in that glory. Because his son is acting in a way that is in agreement with him. And that's what Jesus means when he prayed, Father, glorify your name. I'm not going to ask you not to go through this. I'm going to complete the work. I'm going to do the work. I'm going to serve you. And that's going to bring glory not only to me, but that's going to bring glory to you who sent me. People will see what a wonderful God the Father you are because they will see that faithful and loving service of God the Son. Jesus' death on the cross glorifies the Father's name as Jesus carried out the Father's love for the entire world. Jesus used his commitment to his Father to overcome Satan's attacks. Satan was trying to get Jesus to give it up, but Jesus wouldn't because he was committed to serve his Father in heaven. And so even though his heart was troubled, he was committed to the cross. And the Father affirmed that commitment of his Son as God the Father once again spoke from heaven. He said, for the crowd to hear, I have glorified my name and I will glorify it again. He had glorified his name by loving the world and sending his Son to redeem it. He would glorify it again as he would receive his Son's sacrifice, as his Son would go through the cross into the grave and then out of the grave in his resurrection from the dead and his rule over all things. This was the hour for that judgment first promised in the Garden of Eden to crush Satan's head would come to pass. Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be thrown out. God the Father's glory lies not only in his love, but it also lies in his judgment. God pronounced his judgment on Satan in the Garden of Eden. And now he is faithful to that word and carries out that judgment by bringing his Son glory as his road to glory leads through the cross. Now the Father would judge the unbelieving world. He would judge his enemies. God is not a God that is mocked. God is not a God that says, if you don't believe in me, you will be condemned. But God carries out that judgment against the unbelieving world. Jesus would crush the serpent's head. Satan's power, his claim on lost mankind, would be broken. This was the Jesus that Philip and Andrew introduced to the Greeks. It wasn't a Jesus who's just this loving God and doesn't really care about your sins. It isn't a Jesus who is just a good example, a great teacher, someone that we should look up to. This is a Jesus whose glory does not lie in some rule in a palace in kingly robes. This is the Jesus who left his throne in heaven and went to the cross, who set aside the full use of his majesty and power and humbled himself to become obedient to death. This is the Jesus who knew he would suffer and die in great pain and misery and bearing the guilt of the world, but who said, Father, this is why I came. This is the hour that I came for, to carry this all out. And it will bring life to the many. It will bring life to the world. And it will bring glory to your name. It is from that altar of the cross that Jesus draws all men to himself. Notice how Jesus makes another reference to what we talked about last week, comparing Moses lifting up the bronze snake in the desert. And Jesus said, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus says exactly the same thing here. He says right at the end of our text, and when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate what kind of death he was going to die. He would be lifted up from the earth on the cross. And it is there that we see him. It is there that we behold him. The Son of Man, and Jesus used that designation for himself, would glorify the Father's name by becoming a curse for us on the cursed tree that the Old Testament spoke about. We who serve Jesus follow him to glory through His cross. The Father honors us who serve His Son to His glory rather than to ours. We do not know, and some of you probably don't care, who wins March Madness. But Jesus' victory brought glory to His Father and a life to us that will never end. Amen.